handle the truth?
Yeah. Kenya, can you handle the truth? Remember that scene from Jack Nicholson, A Few Good Men? There was a suspicious death on a naval base, I think, in Guantanamo Bay, and he was being prosecuted. I'm drawing a blank by you know, obviously the young protagonist. And he's on the stand, and he basically erupts, "You can't handle the truth. You don't want to know what's on that thin line separating the life you cherish and take from granted from those people who want to come and take it from you. You don't want to know what it takes to be on that line. You don't know what it takes to be on that line and look death and despair in the face. You just want the results, and you want the truth kept from you because the truth is too painful and it'll shatter the illusions you have about what a nice and tidy world we live in." So Nicholson sneers at him, and he says again,
You can't handle the truth.
I was reminded of that story this morning reading the New York Times. I don't know if you've seen it yet. Above the Fold. So that's how, you know, for those of you who didn't grow up around newspapers, I pity you. Above the Fold, that's where a newspaper highlights its significant stories. Every day at the New York Times in the late afternoon, editors will meet and they'll talk about their news budget, who gets what, where, when, and what, barring some unusual event in the next few hours, will occupy what portion of the newspaper. The New York Times has signaled that the thing that we most want to know, in a paper that still boasts it prints all the news that's fit to print, deaths lay bare brutality in training of Navy's elite. To survive punishing program, candidates for SEALs seek an edge with drugs. We're going to talk a little bit about this story, but first I want to issue an appeal. Are there any former Navy or maybe even current Navy SEALs out there? Because I'd like you to call in. I'd like to find out more about your training. We're at 203-333-WICC, and I want to test the proposition that Jack Nicholson raises, that we don't want to know the truth, we can't handle it.
You can't handle the truth!
Can you handle it? Because the world's coming undone. And when we try to tell it here sometimes, it feels a little awkward, doesn't it? You kind of look over your shoulder, you want to make sure that one of those woke Nazis trying to tell you what to think and how to feel isn't listening, because after all, you too could be consigned to isolation. So the story, you know, remember Kyle Mullen? Maybe not. Kyle Mullen was captain of the Yale football team, and he wanted to be a Navy SEAL. So he tried out. He was 24 years old when he first, I think, tried. He might have been late 23. Didn't make it past the first day, washed out with dehydration, recovered and went again. And he went through a grueling program, that requires sleep deprivation, and it exposes these young Navy men to extreme hardship, physical and mental. In other words, they're put through hell, and the third week of the program is called, I think, Hell Week. And the intention is to push these people beyond the point of mental and physical endurance, such that if they manage to finish the program, they have within them the mental and physical resources to deal with hell, because that is what we expect our armed forces to do on our behalf. And I would say with Nicholson, we can't handle the truth. We really don't want to know too much about how they get it done. We just want to hear that Osama bin Laden caught one in the forehead and he's dead. And then we want to say thank you to the Navy SEALs, but we don't want to know what it takes to get through the program. But consider the following statistics. Not many people pass the program. In the 1980s, about 40% of candidates completed it. Over the last 25 years, that average, according to the Times, has dropped to 25%. In 2021, it was just 14%. And this year, in the class from which Mullins graduated, just 10% of individuals who went into the program got out of it. In other words, passed. The course began, Mullins' class, with 210 men. By the middle of Hell Week, the third week, 189 had either quit or been brought down by injury. Mullen was ill throughout this. He was spitting up blood. He was coughing such that some say he almost sounded like a barking dog. Doctors and medics conducting the course or observing the course wouldn't stop him. You know, they admired his grit, and he made it. He got out of the cold ocean at the end of Hell Week, the Times reports, and was told by his SEAL leader, "Hey, go get some rest. Here's a pizza." He went back to his barracks, lay down on the floor, and a few hours later, he was dead. Now, this is a shocking waste of a life. Obviously, this young man was pushed beyond the point of endurance, and he, like others in the program, died. Not necessarily this year, but it is foreseeable. Since 1953, at least 11 men going through the SEALS program have died. And the SEALS program is called Basic Underwater Demolition /SEALS Training, or BUDS. Critics say it's too difficult, too brutal, too often causes concussion, broken bones, dangerous infections, and near drownings. And so, they say, we should scale back SEALS training. We should make it more difficult, or less difficult, safer somehow. I don't know. You know, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I think I've never. Well, that's not true. I've been shot at once by a deranged guy in the area in which I used to play stickball in Detroit. We taunted him, and he went into his house, pulled out a shotgun, and as we ran away, he shot, and we giggled. And when we heard the pellet hit the wall as we rounded the corner, you know, kind of stupid juvenile prank, but I did it. And only once have I fired a gun in rage or fear, and that was in an adventure in the North Woods of Michigan in high school. But I shot the gun in the air. And I didn't know what I was, you know, to warn some people to go no further in the mayhem they were seeking to cause. I'm not trained to use force, nor do I want the training. I don't think I could cut SEALS training. You know, I have periodically in my life trained as a distance runner. I've run several marathons, a bunch of half marathons, and I find that grueling enough. I have a friend who does Ironman competitions, and I watch him and I marvel. But by contrast to the training for a marathon or for an Ironman, what the SEALs go through is beyond what I can imagine. Being awake for days on end, being required to tread water beyond the point of exhaustion, being required to lift heavy objects, run in the heat through the sand, being deprived of adequate nutrition, being deprived of sleep. That is a life that, in my view, no one would choose but for the sake of some other higher ideal. And that ideal is service. And so I am filled with admiration and respect for the Navy SEALs. They are doing things that I can't imagine, to train to do things that I wouldn't do, that I can't do, that I would panic if called upon to do. And that is, in the dark of nights, to toe that line that Jack Nicholson was talking about in A Few Good Men. And so, you know, the SEALs are now under the gun. This highly visible young man, Kyle Mullen, has died, former captain of the Yale football team. His mother is saying that the treatment, it was cruel, you know, and I suspect there'll be litigation coming. Don't we want this training to be cruel? Because isn't it a cruel world? But let's find out just what we're prepared to accept in SEALs training. How rampant is drug use there? Should we tolerate it? Are we tolerating it? Is it any different in high performance than what we expect of high performance athletes? You're listening to WICC 600 AM, 107.3 FM, WICC600.com if you're live streaming. We're talking about the Navy SEALs here today, and I've asked folks who've got Navy SEAL experience to call in at 203-333-WICC. What caught my attention was a front page story in the New York Times today featuring the death of Kyle Mullen, a former captain of the Yale football team who died this year at age 24 after completing, shortly, within hours of completing the SEALs training. So, you know, Seaman Mullen went through the program, including Hell Week, and he was seen coughing up blood for days. He appeared to be in need of oxygen. They were ill. He was diagnosed at the time of his death with bacterial pneumonia. But that's a routine diagnosis for young men completing this program. Doctors who were observing the training are so used to it that they failed to hospitalize them. They watched these young men push themselves to the point of exhaustion and worse. Mr. Mullen's mother, Regina Mullen, told the New York Times they killed him. She's a registered nurse. They say it's training, but it's torture. And then they didn't even give him the proper medical care. They treat these guys worse than they are allowed to treat prisoners of war. You know, I'm sympathetic to Regina. I've got three children. They're all adults, the loss of any one of whom would crush me. And I can understand a certain sense of bitterness. But there's a legal doctrine that doesn't get talked about enough, and it's called assumption of the risk. Mullen knew what he was signing up for. He knew that this was going to be grueling. He knew that it was excruciating. in a field notebook that he was wrote during his training, and a photograph of it is in the New York Times. He wrote at one point, "I am not going to die, and if I die, I'd rather die here." Yeah, wow. "I'm not going to die, and if I do, I'd rather die here." I misread it. "I'm not going to die, and if I do, I'd rather die here." That's courage, Mom. And that's courage in the service of something greater than himself. And I don't think the military killed him. I think the military put him through the most grueling training that they could imagine, training that very few can endure, on the assumption that the high-pressure crucible of that training would produce a diamond that might be able to withstand the pressure of a midnight raid on the compound of an international terrorist, or the rescue of a hostage who is in need of the heroics that few of us could imagine, much less perform. And that's what the Navy SEALs do. I think these guys are heroes. But there's a dark side to this heroism. And this is really what the second half of the Times story is about. Are these guys using drug or performance-enhancing drugs? You know, after Mullins died, Navy officials went through his belongings and they discovered syringes and performance-enhancing drugs in a car near the facility. The captain in charge of the BUDS program ordered an investigation, and soon about 40 candidates in his class either tested positive or had admitted using steroids or other drugs in violation of Navy regulations. The Navy hasn't tied Mullen's death to drugs. The service is expected to release reports on the training death and drug use later in the fall. And Navy spokesmen are being kind of tight-lipped about it. But, you know, I read that, and I thought of the Jack Nicholson thing. These are guys pushed beyond the bounds of social convention that we train to walk in darkness and do dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Isn't that the line from the old rock song? You know, that's who we call upon in the dark of night. And I don't know that I'm troubled by their using steroids to help get them through the program or performance-enhancing drugs to help get them through the program. I don't know that the Navy is aware or was aware of it and winked at it because they don't care either. It sort of reminds me of all the hoopla when professional athletes are accused of using steroids or performance-enhancing drugs, or Lance Armstrong, whose bicycling exploits were phenomenal during the various Tours de France, when he was disqualified because he'd used these drugs. I mean, we put these young men, and sometimes, and I think it might just be a problem of young women. I don't recall reading a story about a young woman using performance-enhancing drugs. But we put these young women on pedestals, and we expect the athletes to be demigods. We want to worship them on Saturday and Sunday in college football season. We want them to be sluggers. We want them to throw the ball faster than the speed of light and to skate quicker than the wind off an Ottawa a prairie in a storm. We want all these things, and then we demand from them an image of perfection that seems unrealistic. If we're going to demand that these people perform superhuman feats, then what's wrong with letting them rely on things that enhance their performance? So the Navy's outraged. One Navy SEAL says, you know, former Navy SEAL, just makes it that much harder for people doing the right thing to shine. You know, how are you going to put a Navy SEAL in a situation where his life may be on the line if you can't trust his integrity? That seems like a naive, specious form of moralism. You know, you want to say to the guy who's trained to walk into a room and kill everything in sight, pass the gray poupon before you kill. I'm back with Jack Nicholson. There's an aura of unreality about this story in the New York Times and a sense of fake outrage in the story itself. There may well be drug use among Navy SEALs. There may well be the use of performance-enhancing drugs, but we're asking these young men to endure things that no one is built to endure and very few who sign up for can. I mean, the first 3 weeks of BUD training, you know, frigid water, harassment meant to wash out anyone, this is from the Times, lacking strength, endurance, and mental fortitude. Individuals that instructors that fail, they're called turds, you know. I mean, these men are abused. But what we ask them to do is abusive. We ask them to walk in the darkness and keep the light for us. Again, any Navy SEALs out there, I want to thank you, and I want to hear about how you summoned the will to endure all of this. I really don't understand it.